Good to see you this morning. How many excited about the Lord? He's good to us. We have a lot to be thankful for. Glad that you're here today. We're just so thankful for the Lord and His goodness. We've been in a series dealing with the kingdom of God, talking about how incredible that is and how we should make sure that that's something that we are well versed in. There's no Christian should not have the ability to be able to explain to someone what the kingdom of God is and what it's all about. That's some of the elementary things. Yet, we find ourselves in our society today knowing very little about the kingdom of God. And that's important that we understand the kingdom of God and what is going to happen. The text is clear in Matthew 6, 10. It says, "For thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I think that's something important for us to understand about God's kingdom and the kingdom coming. What's the benefits of the kingdom? How are we going to be kingdom ready now? What we're supposed to do? What's some of the things that we have to take part in now? And these are important principles. I don't think that we can in one bit afford to be slack concerning that, considering the time that we're living in now. When we consider the times that we're living in and the things that are going on around us and the things that are happening, it's something that we ought to be carefully considering on a daily basis. Every day we should be taking these things in consideration because they're so important. And so these are some of the things that we've been looking at. We want to continue to look at those things. I think it's important for us to continue in that. And so we want to be sharing with you some important principles concerning all of these things as we've been doing thus far. Last week, I had started talking about God's the kingdom message, and I didn't get to finish it, so I want to go ahead and cover the last 2 points on the kingdom message, and then we're going to talk about the kingdom people, the people, and what we should do in the kingdom. So I want to try everything I can to cover as much of that as possible with you today, and look at that and consider the amazing things that God has established for us. So I want to tell you, difficult times come and go. There's been times that you can look in your life and you can see that you've been had some high points and low points. And I can tell you, we ought to be thankful. That's why he says, "In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us." Do you know that it's more than just coming and getting saved? There's a preparation that's being made. We're being prepared for the kingdom of God. And you have to ask yourself, right now, am I ready for the kingdom? Is my mindset right? Is everything right? Because remember, the ultimate thing that God's going to do, he's going to change this body that we have. Though it die or it lives, it makes no difference. He said that Jesus made this statement. He said there are some who sleep that are going to raise. In Thessalonians, Paul put it this way. He said, "The dead shall raise in Christ. Then those who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air." So we know that God's going to do that. That's the finality of who we are as believers. But what about right now? What is happening in my life, in your life right now? Spiritually speaking, what am I doing to prepare to live in the kingdom of God? Because that's what I should be doing. And I know what the kingdom expectations are, the expectations of the kingdom, and what God requires of me of living in the kingdom. It's important. So we're going to look at those things. We're going to deal with kingdom people. Kingdom people. You have to ask yourself the question, are you a kingdom person? Have you really set yourself aside? Have we come out from among them and been separated and been holy? Are we doing that? Nowhere we see where the Lord says that you're going to come out and be perfect. We'll be in process, but we have to make an effort. We have to make an effort toward pleasing God, and he tells us how to do that. He shows us in the Word what is required of us to do that. And if we're not doing that, then we're not kingdom ready. And if we're not kingdom ready, we have to ask ourselves, am I going to go in the kingdom? Is that what's going to be my final destination? Am I going to live forever and ever with the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, and God Himself? Am I going to be there? Well, I think it's no more than right. If God created everything, God created and saw that it was good. And He says what He's going to do in order, when we talked about this, I'll give you a few points. The first part that I covered was the kingdom story. What God originally intended in the beginning, He will get in the end. And we see that. We read Genesis, and when we read Revelations, we see the similarities there at the beginning of Genesis. And at the end of Revelations, we see that God, what He originally intended, He gets in the end. How many of you know God's going to have a paradise? It's going to be absolutely awesome. He said that the animal kingdom won't fight each other no more. And if there's no fighting in the animal kingdom, I don't think God is going to allow fighting amongst us. Amen? It's not going to happen. So I'm wondering, you know, what is God, what do we go through in life? What is all the things that happen in our life? What about the situations and circumstances that come? Is that just by chance? Does it just come on us and we don't have no reason for it? Or is there a reason for everything you've ever been through? Is there a reason for every obstacle that you've ever had to come up against? Is there a reason for it? What is it all about? Is it just seemed like sometimes you ever had this feeling where God was just picking on you? Why is all this stuff happening to me? Or this statement right here. What about why is all this bad stuff happening to good people? You ever wondered about all that stuff? Well, I wonder about all those things, and I think about it. And I think about how when God made man, it was perfect. There was nothing wrong with man. But the one thing God gives to every person, that's the freedom to choose. You have the freedom to choose whatever you want. He said, I put before you life and death. Choose life. But I'm just saying, you can choose death if you want. Every person in here, you can choose death. Well, that word death, there's a very interesting context that is put in. That's forever annihilated. That's not coming back. Because He's put them both together, death and life. The life He's talking about there is eternal life. I'm just wondering if He's speaking of eternal death. Think about it. He's comparing, I believe, this is what I read the text, it's the complete opposite. So if we got eternal life, then you got eternal death. And we don't want that. Nobody wants that. But that's the choices we have. And so we have to understand that in God's kingdom, in His kingdom, He's gonna make sure that what He originally intended, He'll get in the end. The second part we covered is how God moves from the original plan in Genesis to restore everything in Revelations. And we looked at that. So the original plan, what does He do in Revelations? He restores it. Well, in order to restore it back to its original, there's a lot of things that's been in the earth for a long time that's caused a stronghold. How many of you know there's strongholds? How many of you know that Ephesians puts it this way? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our fight is not with each other. And we spend more time fighting each other than we do really doing what God wants us to do. How many understand that? How many know there's a lot of truth in that? We spend more time fighting each other. We spend more time worrying about somebody else and what they're doing, what they're not doing, what's this one saying, that one saying. And we don't even realize that around us right now, there are strongholds. There are principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. All that stuff's real. Paul said in his writing, he said, that's what we wrestle against. That's what we're up against. But then he tells us what to do. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That you can stand against the fiery darts. How many of you ever had your mind just go squirrely on you from time to time? Where you was thinking thoughts one week that you wouldn't normally think. And then you realize, man, what was I, you ever heard this statement? What was I thinking? That's the problem, you weren't thinking. That was a principality, a ruler of darkness that had a clear shot at your head because you didn't have the helmet of salvation on. And so that's why you do those. We just complete. How many have ever made this statement? That's completely out of His character. Anybody ever heard that statement or made that statement? Not his character. What does that mean? It's just so bizarre what was just done, you can't believe it. That's out of character. You know what we call it today? It's a sickness. So we put people on medication that act that way. That's the truth. We say that they're schizophrenic. That's what we got. One, we'll call them all kinds of stuff. Bipolar. Now, if I mention one of them, and in his home, you know, because some folks said, that's mine. I got that one. Well, let me tell you, all of that is principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness that's attacking your mind. The fiery dart comes, boom, you hit, and you go from one extreme to the next and say, he's bipolar. We got some medicine for that. Just calm him down. Well, let me tell you, it's not what God said. Now you understand? We're talking about God's children here, kingdom people. God's people ain't bipolar. They're not schizophrenic. Oh, you understand? Not God's people. We got to make a choice what people we want to be. Well, it's not that we don't have the stuff we need to get there. Because Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless, but I'll send the Comforter. How many know the Comforter's come? Book of Acts, the second chapter, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one mind, in one place, one accord, all hanging out together, praying for the same thing. We need power. Did it come? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. It filled the place where they were. It was like cloven tongues of fire that sat on each of them, and they were all filled. How many want to be filled? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. How many know we need that power? When we're weak, he's strong. Let me tell you, the Holy Ghost doesn't get weak. I mean, understand that. Not God's power. That'd be like saying God's weak in certain areas. Can God be weak? No, he can't be weak. And so that's what we have to suit up. Then you got to have your loins girded about with truth. I mean, you know, that's been an issue in the world. We don't have enough truth. We're afraid to speak the truth. We're afraid to tell the truth because we don't want folks' feelings to get hurt. Well, let me tell you, don't worry about feelings getting hurt. They got enough hurt in the world today, we don't have to add feelings to it. There's a lot of hurt. People's hurting. And we got to remember, we've been given the gospel. And our job is to get out there and share the gospel with those who are hurting. But it's hard to share when we still got the same hurts that we've been carrying around for years. Because we let the devil beat us. And that's exactly what's happening. He's beating people. And we shouldn't allow that. It's not allowed. You ought to go in your house and that's not allowed here. That's not allowed here. This won't happen no more. That's not allowed here. We're not talking that way. We're not acting that way. It's up to you. You say, why are you doing that? Because that's getting ready for the kingdom of God. Because let me ask you something. Is bipolar allowed in the kingdom? What about schizophrenia? Are you hearing what I'm saying? What about a mind that's unstable in all its ways? Is that allowed in the kingdom? No. Well, how you get a mind unstable? A double-minded man. Double-minded is when we have one mind for God and another mind that the devil can just heap havoc on. You don't care that he's attacking you. And let me tell you, you got to care. The devil's a liar and there's no truth in him. We can't allow him to attack us. But he will attack you. I'm telling you, there are strongholds and powers that are around our world today, in our towns. Are you hearing me? In our cities, there are strongholds in our government. There are strongholds in power, in political power. There are strongholds. So if you wonder why people act the way they act, we need to spend more time worrying about how they act. You got to start being concerned of what is the reason they're acting that way. You ever heard this statement? Nobody in their right mind would do something like that. You ever heard that? That's a true statement. They're not in their right mind. They done been hit by the enemy, and they don't know what they believe. And then folks go, I can't believe I did that. You ever made that statement about yourself? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I react that way? And let me tell you, a lot of it we think we're doing. But what we're doing is allowing the enemy to use us, belittle us, and ruin our lives because he don't want your kingdom ready. The more he can cause you to not be kingdom ready, the more he wins. Well, let me tell you, we can be kingdom people. We can be. It's up to us. And I knew that today, and I'm going to try everything I can to try to get on this topic, but there's some issues that we got to take care of. Some things that we got to understand about what God expects from us as believers. So let's look at the third thing I talked about. I talked about the vision, seeing what the kingdom of God will be like through the prophets. So when we look at what the prophets said, we're talking about something that's fantastic. And if this is the prelude to the kingdom, it's not very exciting. We're not making the kingdom that exciting. If this is how it's, you know, if we're the church is supposed to be as close to the kingdom ready than anybody in the world. Amen? The church. So if the world that is lost needs to be saved by the truth of the gospel, and we're supposed to be speaking that truth, we're not doing a very good job at it if we're still being beat by the same things that we were beat before when the enemy had us 100%. So we got to put a stop to it. How many want to stop it? Well, it's not something you got to say, well, I got to get stronger than the enemy. What you got to do is believe the word of God. Faith. It's called faith. It doesn't seem right to you, but it works because God works it in you. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. By grace. You got to understand what grace is. Grace is God's favor upon your life continually and every day. Not a one-time thing. It's not one time. He didn't grace you once. He continually graces you, continually loves you, cares about you. God will never stop caring about his creation. He created us. And one thing we got to get straight about this, if we didn't create ourselves, no other man created us, God created us, then we owe everything to the Creator. But what he said was happening, even in Paul's day, he said they worship the creature more than the Creator. There's people today, and I hope there's none here in this church, that they'll take a man's word for it over God's word for it. That's crazy. That's worshiping the creature more than the Creator. There's men today that have more honor and they're given more recognition than God is. That's absolutely crazy. Do you understand that? Listen, you say, well, I'd never do that. You'd be shocked if somebody popular that you are following, who you look at, who you watch, who you consider to be a popular person, walk in the door when unannounced. You'd be shocked what disposition it would give you. It would give you an immediate disposition, a reaction. It would. And so what? And you got to understand is how come God don't give you that reaction? But where God is, he's everywhere. You can't be anywhere on this planet. You can't be anywhere without God being there, but without the power of God being present and ready in your life. It's through him. And so keep these things in mind. They're very important. So we talked about all these things, that the land was restored through Abraham, the rulership was restored through David, and the relationship was restored through Jesus. How many thank God that those things happen already? They happen. Now, the fourth thing, the kingdom message, beyond our hope, God's kingdom is also the theme of the gospel itself. And that's what we dealt with last week. And I was covering 5 points. I covered 3 of them, and I got 4 more that I need to cover. So let's see if I can get through these couple last ones, and then we'll... Number 4, other places the kingdom is a part of Jesus' teaching. And it deals with that in Matthew 24:14, alluding to the end time teaching. And I covered some of that, but we didn't cover it all. Matthew 25:31-36, you want to write these down? Jesus taught that the kingdom was the hope of righteousness. So he, other places that it's mentioned, and in Jesus' teaching, when he's teaching about the end time, he's not saying it's going to be the end, and then what? Then what is there? But he teaches about the kingdom. There's a kingdom coming, and if there's a kingdom coming, there's going to be a king in that kingdom. And the kingdom is set up so it can be bring restoration to the hurt and the things that are going on in our society today. So just keep that in mind. And if you're here and you're not heard all of these, it's a five-part series, so it's hard to start right now. You can go online, and in the archives, you can look in there, and all of this is listed for you to listen to, and the notes are also in there for you to look at them. The next part, number five, deals with the kingdom message, is the backstory to Jesus' passion. The kingdom message is the backstory to Jesus' passion. And what we find there in Luke 22, 15 and 16, and 28 through 30, the Last Supper and the communion. And so he makes a connection there. Remember, he talks about, this is my body, which is broken for you. And then he makes certain that they understand, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And you have to understand, when you're telling that to Jews, when they know that blood is an issue, it's an issue. So all of a sudden, you got some crazy statement, and that's exactly how they would view it. What are you talking about? Eat your flesh and drink your blood. And so you have to understand that the sacrifices of the animals that they would make, no one was allowed to eat the blood. How many understand? There's no blood sausage in the Jewish family. How many understand that? Because he said, don't eat the blood. That was a command given by God. And so they couldn't eat the blood. So all of these years, thousands of years went on. And then Jesus shows up and said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. Can you imagine that? Thousands of years of tradition, and then here's the Messiah, the King, a long-awaited King, and he says, you're going to have to drink my blood. And so what is he saying? He's letting them know that his blood is the final sacrifice. It's the supreme sacrifice. It's what pays in full for all the iniquities that ever been committed or ever will be committed. Jesus' blood. The Bible's clear. It says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. None whatsoever. So there was a large group of people who were following Jesus. In one instance, he fed 5,000 of a large group. And they followed him. They were followers of Jesus. But they were following him for what he could do. They were following for the benefit of being associated with a man who was becoming popular within the core city of Jerusalem. He was becoming popular. He was being spoken of on a daily basis. But then he comes out with these words. He said, if you really want to follow me, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. What is he saying? He says, you're going to have to do what I do. You're going to have to give your life to God. You're going to have to give your life. Death is inevitable. This is what he's talking about. It won't be your blood anymore. It'll be my blood. So God, here's the thing. God is not asking for ours. He already has a blood. If the blood of men could have satisfied God, he could have fixed it a long time ago. But he waited. There was a waiting period. There was a time of a period that he would send his only begotten son. And he sent him. I mean, thank God that he sent him into the world for you and I. And it's so important that we grab hold to that principle and understand these values. So again, in Luke 22, you can look at that on your own time. Matthew 26, 62, Jesus' trial. Another thing that we see there that he goes through and they speak to him of who he is and what he's all about. And he said, it's as you say. And so here he is standing there, gives up this. The information is given. I am. He is the Messiah. I mean, thank God he's the anointed one. And so all of these things, I think, is of value. In Luke 23, 42 through 43, Jesus is on the cross. Jesus does not tell the criminal he will be with him in heaven, but he tells him he will be with him in paradise in response to his question about being in the kingdom. And so remember that the criminal says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He didn't say, remember me when you go into heaven. And so Jesus could have answered and say, all right, here's a criminal. He's a sinner. He's being crucified for crimes committed. Those crimes were carried out, and then the justice system carried out the penalty to the crimes that were committed. And in his case, it was to be crucified. And so here's the criminal, says, when you come in your kingdom, notice his terms. He's not saying, when you go to heaven. You know why he didn't say that? Because that's not what you hear. That's not the language of Scripture. You don't see that language in the Scripture. But he knew about the kingdom because people understood the kingdom because they had the Old Testament and they read it. They were well versed in that. And even Jesus, throughout his ministry, he taught from the Old Testament. He taught from that book of the laws. He taught from there. So they understood that. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. And so what is Jesus telling? He said, today you shall be with me in paradise. So he's understand that term that he brings to light so he could understand. We're talking about paradise. Come into a place of understanding that God, when he performs this act, when it comes to fruition and Jesus enters his kingdom, before he enters that kingdom, before Jesus enters it, what is he going to do? He's going to raise the dead and the alive will be changed. So, well, we're going to wait for him to get here and then it happens? No, it's going to happen when he's in the air. In the air. We're going to go out to meet him as the bride meets the bridegroom. And so we see all these significant points throughout the text. And this is important. So the rest of them, I'll just put the slide up. You can write this down, Acts 1. Do I have number 6? There we go. The early church preached the kingdom message and the name of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what they did. We have it here in Acts 8:12. Philip preached the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 19, Paul's message was the same thing. Acts 28, Paul's message again. And we find there that he preached the kingdom. He was there all that time, unhindered. People came. That we had house meetings, and he constantly preached the kingdom of God. So the kingdom is the message that's been preached. It was preached by Jesus, preached by the apostles, and it should still be preached by us today. What we do find is this big gap where we don't hear a whole lot about the kingdom. The kingdom is taken, literally taken and used out of its setting, out of its context, to try to leverage and manipulate people to give money. That's what the kingdom was used for many times. Even because there were many parables spoken in the kingdom that dealt with finances. So people just took it and said, well, that's a good one. I'll use that. That'll get them going. That'll get them excited. And so we can get charisma. We get preaching that, a good charismatic approach to it. And people get all frilled up and get to chill bumps. And before they know it, they done give something that they didn't have. And folks told them, that's what you got to do. And that's why we have what's going on today. That's why we have statements will be made and crazy things are happening like it's going on today. It's absolutely contrary to the text of what God wants us to be speaking of. We ought to be preaching the kingdom's coming. There's a king in that kingdom, and we ought to be kingdom people, and this is what we'll deal with today. So I want you to look at this with me. The kingdom people, how the church people of God become the people of the future kingdom now. How many of you know that it's not something later, but it's now? We didn't get saved just to get saved to die and then start trying to live that away. We're to live that way now, and that's what God wants for us. Go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. In Ezekiel 37, talks about the future promises as described. This is a great section highlighting the kingdom elements we have seen. Talking about David, Abraham, Jacob, which was the grandson, and relationships. Great part. I will be their God. That's one of the greatest things that we'll read today. I will be their God, and they will be my people. I'm excited about that. Let me tell you, I don't think there's near enough excitement. How many of you ever been to a game or something where your team was winning? How many of you know that sometimes it takes a little while for it to come on you, but when it does, and the other crowd's shouting and everybody else is shouting, it don't take long that you're doing something you normally wouldn't do. You definitely wouldn't do it in church service. Because I ain't never seen it. You know where you go, whoa. Man, if you'd have popped up like that this morning, Sister Linda would have went, what? But see, why do you do that? It's an emotion. It's an excitement. It's thrilling. And I don't care. I'm not really into it, you know, but all of a sudden you start watching it long enough and you pick a team or you pick a fighter. You don't even know the guy, but you pick somebody. And once you pick, what rises up on the inside is that winning attitude. You want to win. You want your team to win, your fighter to win. You want to win. But we don't think that way about the kingdom of God. We just feel like, oh, we don't say too much and let's not get too beside ourselves. Well, sometimes you do have to get beside yourself. Sometimes, you know, if you've been going through it all week, maybe you need to shout a little bit. Say that's enough. And get excited about the things of God. Well, let me tell you, it's all through the scripture. I get excited about the things of God. And we see it time and time again. Well, let's look at something. Let me say that statement again. I will be their God and they'll be my people. You don't get closer than that. That's exciting. I will be their God and they'll be my people. So he's talking about that in the kingdom. Now, what are we doing now? We're pushing toward being his people. We're striving to be his people. Because what does God do to those who work iniquity? Does he claim them as his? No. So we're pushing toward being his. And we got to do that with our effort. We got to do it with enthusiasm and excitement. We got to be thrilled to know that we're going to live forever and ever and ever. Forever. Some folks don't want to live forever. You know why? Because they're tired of how they're living now. We won't be that away. There'll be no more tears. No more sorrows. No more sickness. No more death. No more pain. Do you understand that? We know none of the problems we face with today. And so what we ought to be doing is telling people this is what you have to look forward to. Even though we got to live in this world, we still got to get up tomorrow when church is over. Monday's coming. And the sun's going to pop up. There it is, Monday. And you're going to go to work or do whatever you do, and you're still faced with whatever issue you got. But let me tell you, you can either be fearful of it, you can succumb to it, or you can stand up and look at the things of God and say, God, I know that you're going to bring me through this, and it's going to make me better than when I started. And I'm going to tell you, God will be faithful to you. How many know he was faithful? And Ezekiel 37, look at verse 21. Verse 21, say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land on the mountain of Israel, and one king will be king and all of them, for all of them. How many kings? One king will be for all of them, and they will no longer be two nations and no longer be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols or with their detestable things or with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling place in which they have sinned and will clean them, and they will be my people and I will be their God. Isn't that exciting? It ain't going to be like it is now. Right now, it's difficult. And like I said, sometimes you're having a good week. Sometimes it's not so good. Can you imagine? That'll all be over with. There'll be no bad days in the kingdom of God. No bad days. Look at somebody next to you and say, no bad days in the kingdom of God. That's exciting. My servant David will be the king over them. Do you see that? So what we talked about is David, he said his throne, the throne of David will last forever. He didn't say that of Solomon. He didn't say that of Solomon's son. He said that of David. His throne will be forever. So my servant will be king over them. They will have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. They will live on the land that I gave to Jacob, my servant. So Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. So when I say Jacob, I can mention Abraham there, because he's the grandson. That land inheritance just went on to the next generation. What if you have a parent, your parents die, and they had land, and you were the only child? What would happen to that land? Would you have to buy it? No, you don't buy it. They already paid for it. So it's their land, and what happens to it? It becomes your what? Your inheritance. That's yours now. Did you pay for it? No. It was awarded to you because of who your parents were. Let me tell you, God told Abraham, this land is going to be yours forever. Now, we know in Hebrews we read he died. Abraham died not receiving the promise. So what was God talking about? He was talking about the kingdom event that was coming. Is Abraham going to live in that land? Yes, it'll be his forever. What about Jacob? It'll be his forever. What about Isaac? It'll be his forever. Listen, and so what do we get? We get invited into that kingdom that's been promised to him. We got our invitation. We get to live in that same land. And so this is important to understand. This is exciting stuff. And I will live on the land that I gave Jacob, my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, they and their sons' sons forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. And I will make a covenant with peace with them, and I will be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will judge, I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. See, sanctuary in their midst. My dwelling place also will be with them. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Do you see that? The nations will know that I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, who sanctified Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. How many of you think that the world is going to finally get it? When Jesus Christ returns and he comes to set up the kingdom, I believe folks are going to get it. There he is. There'll be it'll be no secret entry. He's going to enter in like lightning crossing the sky. And folks will know that he's arrived. And let me tell you, that's going to be a real indicator is the graves. Those 6 foot under. Do you understand that? The tombs. The mausoleums. Whatever it is that folks are in are going to shake. And he's going to call them people back who are in Christ. If you're not in Christ, them dead will stay dead. Because the Bible talks about a second resurrection. Now, we got one, how many of you know he said, blessed are those who are in the first resurrection. Everybody say, I'm claiming the first. You better claim the first, because I don't listen. He said, blessed are those who are in the first resurrection, because there's going to be a second resurrection. And when he raised those in the second resurrection, it's to judge. No matter how small or great, rich or poor, none of that. Listen, nobody's going to be able to take their bank account to the throne of God. Can you imagine trying to bring $1 million to God? For what? He created the universe. You think that a million? What about a billion? What about a trillion? No money in the world is going to cause God to look at any person any different. He's going to say, I gave you a choice. I gave you a choice, life or death. You chose death. I told you to choose life. That's what he's saying. Choose life. He tells all of us the same. There's one thing that can equal out everybody, and that's when you face death. There's an equal line. It draws a line in the center. There it is. We're all the same. We all face it the same way. And nothing you can do in this life will change that. You face it the same. But one thing's about good about God. The dead shall be raised. How many thank God for that? And so we see these important principles. So I wanted to just point out that to you in the Ezekiel reading. The kingdom of God is a primarily a future event. It's a future event. However, a big piece of the kingdom has already happened as the king of the kingdom has been identified and has come. I mean, thank God he has come. So when we're talking about Messiah or Christ, those two words mean the same thing. In the New Testament, we use the word Christ, but in the Old Testament, it would be described as Messiah, the anointed one. Now, the anointed one, the anointing is to signify he's the king. He's the king. Remember when David was out in keeping the sheep and Samuel came to visit to anoint somebody king over Israel. And all the brothers were brought out. His brothers and none of them. You remember Jesse said, here's all my sons. Here they are. And he overlooked each one of them. And Samuel said, neither one of these. They're fine boys. They're healthy and strong. And they probably could do a good job, but they're not to be anointed king. Do you have any other sons? He said, I got one more. He's out in the field. He's the youngest. He's small. You know, but go get him. Brings David in, just a boy. And he said, that's the king right there. So you understand that when God picks you to be a king, it doesn't make no difference what status you have in the family. It's God's pick. Well, let me tell you who God picked to be king. He picked his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the unique Son of God. He picked him. And how many of you know Jesus already came to this planet? And over 2,000 years ago, he hung on a cross and was crucified. And they put him in a grave. But 3 days later, God the Father raised his son from the dead. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. God gave Jesus more authority than all the principalities, powers, might, and dominions in every name that's named. Now, I told you earlier that we're up against some things right now. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not to fight each other. That's not our fight, but we're up against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. It's real prevalent in our world today. That's what we're up against. God wants you to have life eternal, and all of those demonic influences want you to die with no hope. And listen, all those principalities, they must have been shouting for their team. They must have been, we beat him, look at him, he's a dead man in a grave. But God, everybody say, but God. See, God raised him from the dead. I mean, thank God for that. Raised him. And all of a sudden, the demonic forces go, what is this? What is this? How is it you raised him from the dead? The sting of death is sin. And he said, exactly. He who knew no sin became sin that you and I can have right standings with God. He knew no sin. So the sting of death had no power over him. Death had no power. Oh, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? There is none when it comes to Jesus. Well, let me tell you, if you're in Christ, then death will have no power over you also. When is it going to happen? The Bible tells us, it's clear in Corinthians, the 15th chapter. It says, Christ, the first fruit, and then us at his coming. At his coming. When is he going to come? The scripture says he's going to come when the last trumpet blows. Revelation talks about 7 trumpets are going to blow. When the last trumpet blows, he's coming. And when he comes, nothing's going to stop it. What's going to hold the dead back? In Christ, nothing. You will be raised. How many thank God for that? We're talking about kingdom people today. How many want to be part of God's kingdom? Well, you can be. We wait for the rest to be completed, but we are currently in a unique time in history. King Jesus has been raised from the dead. King Jesus has been exalted to the right hand of God. King Jesus has been given all authority. King Jesus has sent this Spirit. How many thank God that he sent all of those things? So all of these things have happened. They're for us, belong to us. The Spirit's been sent. We have the earnestness. Let me talk to you a little bit about the Spirit of God. A lot of people say, well, you know, and let me tell you, we've had this happen. We had the charismatic movement. All of those things happen. And we identify ourselves with the Spirit of God. And folks have done certain things and acted certain ways. And I'm not saying it wasn't the Spirit of God. Because let me tell you, I've had the Spirit of the Lord come on me. And let me tell you, it'll humble you. It'll make you cry. It'll make you sing loud. It'll just make you want to shout to God because there's something about it. But I'm going to tell you what's happened. Is we've seen extremes in each facet of it and kind of backed away from all of it. Well, I'm going to tell you, whether we back away from it or not, it's still here. It's still come. It's still evident. And we need to understand that. Why is that? Because that's the thing that operates in us and for us right now for being kingdom ready. Preparing you for the kingdom of God right now. You got to be prepared. And there's some things that absolutely you won't do because the Spirit of the Lord now dwells in you. Before the Spirit dwells in you, then you understand there's a battle of spirits. There's a war going on in the spirit. How many know that the devil, he wants to let you be led in your mind by demonic spirits? You ever seen somebody does a crazy, crazy act? How somebody can do something to harm little children. And you got to be possessed to do something like that. Well, that's the truth. They are possessed. Their deranged and crazy mind is not something God created. And so what people do, this is what folks are saying. I don't know why God allows that. Like somehow it's God's fault. God didn't allow it. It's the devil. It's the deranged demonic influence that's bombarding people. And if you don't think that's the case, you can take a normal child in a normal home and put them in front of certain video games, and it won't take long that their mind starts to alter. And you look at them and say, I don't know, but that is something going on because my child didn't act that way before. Are y'all here? And you say, we got responsibility. You better believe we do. We ought to be screening everything that's flowing around in our homes. We ought to be taking care of those things because it's important. And that's what happens when you study what's going on in the lives of people and study what's happening, how we have people that all of a sudden they were not, and things change, it's the enemy. Can I be different? Yeah, you can have the mind of the Spirit. The Bible's clear. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Did Jesus have to go through the process of being kingdom ready? Absolutely he did. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, yet he didn't sin. Are we being tempted? Yes, we got to choose whether we're going to sin or not. Do I have to sin? No, you don't. But I'm weak. Well, the way you get strong is through the Spirit. He says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So in your weakness, that's so fine. Somebody, you got to hit a spot. You got to hit a spot. What is the weakness supposed to do for you? Weakness is supposed to give you a time of decision. And this is what people do. When they hit their weakest spot, they're going to decide to do right or wrong. That's what they're going to decide to do. How many know you can do, your choice to do right is available to you, and choice to do wrong is available to you. But here's what I believe the church's responsibility is. We need to start preaching more messages that show people that they can make right decisions. Show them that they have a choice to choose to be kingdom ready and kingdom people. How many want to be kingdom people here? Well, you can be. I want to tell you, the whole world's not going to be in the kingdom. You understand that? Not everybody's going to be in the kingdom. He said there's a broad road and there are many on it and it leads to destruction. And there's a straight and narrow road that leads to life. How many want to be on the straight and narrow road? We've got to choose to be on that. We get to the crossroads and we got to figure out which one. Well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's wanting to do it. So you can make a decision to go with what's popular. Go with what gives more excitement, what's more thrilled. And say, you know, there's not a whole lot of thrill in church. You want thrill in the church? Get thrilled. That's how you bring it. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Listen, you get here and you feel the presence of God. Shout hallelujah. Do something. Stomp your feet. Stand up, wave your hands, do something, but say, I'll give God the glory because he is the King of Kings. How many thank God for his word? Though the king is not here physically present, he is here spiritually present. And it's something we have to remember. And as a result, the future promise of the age to come are splashing over into this age. Splashing over into this age. How many's ever been to a pool? You ever been to a pool? Well, sometimes when we're on a vacation or whatever, we'll go down to the pool. And we always look for a place to sit away from the pool. Because there's a bunch of kids running around having a good time. And they ought to have a good time. They're on vacation too. We're not going to go there and say, "All right, kids, you got to quit jumping in the pool because we want to sit and be dry." No, if you want to be dry, sit over there. Because when you get around a pool, you ought to expect to get what? Wet. Well, I'm going to tell you, what's happening in the future is God's preparing the kingdom, and I feel a splash hitting me every now and then. I'm sitting, and I want to sit right close to the edge of the pool and let that... I can't get in the pool because it's not time yet. You can't get in the pool because it's not... But I can sit close to the pool. Yeah. Some folks are sitting over here. I ain't getting wet. I don't feel nothing. I can tell you why. You're like me and Pastor Charlotte. We over there in the woods where they got trees growing. Are you hearing? But if we want to get wet, we got to get to the edge. And I want heaven keep playing in the pool of the kingdom. Heaven keep stirring the waters up because I want to get right next to the pool and know that it won't be long. And when it's my turn, I just want to roll right in. How many want to do that? Kingdom people. That's what kingdom people do. They get right next to the water. There's a splash going on in the future. And I'm telling you, the splash is getting louder. The water's spraying more because we're getting closer than we've ever been. The splash is getting great, and we need to get right by it. And we need to every now and then. That's what we have by the Spirit. The earnestness of the Spirit is we get that spiritually. We are in the kingdom of God, and we can get closer as we want by the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. If those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. How many understand that all of those things are incredible and they're important to us? So how many want to be led by the Spirit? What's the Spirit going to do? Is the Spirit going to keep you away from the things of God? No. Is the Spirit going to say, "Don't read your Bible for a week"? No. Is the Spirit going to say, "You don't ever have to go to church"? No. It won't say none of those things. Well, why are you getting those messages? I can tell you where you're getting them from. It's another spirit. It's another spirit contrary to the things of God. Is the Spirit of God going to say, "Go back to your old self"? No, the Spirit won't tell you that. Is the Spirit going to tell you, "Just hate everybody"? No, it's not going to say that. Things have changed. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. You think that Jesus was ever tempted? The Scripture says he was. He was tempted in all points, yet he didn't sin. Why? Because he heard what the Spirit said. Don't do that. And he listened to the Spirit. Now, can we do the same thing? Absolutely. Right now, every person equally, there's no different. There's not, pastor's got more spirit than that. There's no, God don't pour the Spirit out and he gives you so many ounces and me so many ounces. If you want it, it's available to whomever wants it. It's available. But I can tell you, you gotta receive it for yourself. Receiving's an act of your own will. You gotta say, "I'm gonna receive this. I'm gonna hold on to it with all that's in me. I'm not gonna let it go." And you can be weak. How many of you know, being weak's not the end? Weak is when you're made strong. When you hit the bottom and you don't know which way to go, you go, "God, I need you." You know what's coming next. Either utter failure or a supernatural move of God, and you get stronger than you've ever been. That's the only thing can happen when you got weak. Well, I'm shooting for I'm going to get stronger. I know I'm hurting right now. I know I'm going through this pain. I know this sickness is on me, but I know I'm coming out. I'm going to be better. You understand? That's up to you to say those words. It's up to you to speak those things over your life and over your children. I know my children aren't where they need to be, but that's okay. They're coming out. That's bottom line. It makes no difference. I promise. I got promises. He promises my house. If I'm faithful, he promises my house to me. I'm accepting that. It's mine. Belongs to me. And you go with that. These are things that God's given to us. How many thank God for his word? The church does not equal the kingdom of God. And I want you to keep that in mind, because there's a teaching out that says that the church is the kingdom. We don't have to wait for the kingdom. The church is the kingdom. No, no, no. No, no. The kingdom hadn't come. I want you to get that big clear on that. They asked Jesus, said, just the time you're going to set up your kingdom? Remember they asked him that? He said, are you going to come now? Are you setting up? Because they were getting impatient. They kind of was accepting him as the Messiah, but then days they weren't. And they said, okay, you're the king, you're the Messiah. Are you going to set the kingdom up? Is this the time you're going to do it? He said, the time is not for me to tell you. It's not for you to know that time. My Father knows. But what was he doing? He was coming before that. To let us know it's coming. It's as sure as anything's ever been, the king is coming into that kingdom. In light of that, it's helpful to understand that the scriptures do not equate the church with the kingdom of God. We will see some present realities of the kingdom of God that affects the church, but the church did not replace the kingdom hope and the plan after Jesus came. And so we see some realities. We see that splash every now and then hit us, but it doesn't replace it all. And this is important to understand. There's a few there that I'm not going to go over. I just can't cover them all today, but they'll be. We'll put them in the notes. Go down to future kingdom. Things God has done in part now. I think you're going to have to go 4 or 5 slides down. I'm not sure. Future kingdom. Things God has done in part now. First thing he's done, he's restoration in relationship with him. And how many know we have restoration in relationship with him? And this is important for us to understand. Valuable for us to grab hold to. I'm going to give you a few of these. I'm going to see how fast I can go through this. Isaiah 65:24. In Isaiah 65:24. It says, it will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. How incredible that is. So that's something that's going to be in the future. We know he's talking about future, but what's the present reality of that? Ephesians chapter 2. Look at it real quick with me. Ephesians chapter 2. In the second chapter of Ephesians, verse number 12. He says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers of the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Notice that. I mean, you know, the word is important. Listen carefully to the word. Especially listen, if you're not a regular Bible reader, I encourage you to become one. But if you're not reading your Bible on a regular basis, you got to listen carefully when you're in church. And then go back and look at those texts again. Take them out. I give them to you so you can see them. Write them down. Go back and read these things. If you want victory, you can't just come and say, well, I went to church and nothing happened. What you think? It's just going to be magical? There ain't no magical. It's an effort. You got to put out an effort and you got to have an expectation. He didn't say the just shall live by magic. He said, the just shall live by faith. You got to believe that what God said he would do. And you can't believe that if you don't know what God said. And how do you know what God said? You read his word. He gave a letter to us, a message. If you was to go, listen, you know what some folks would do? They'll go down, walking down the road. And they see a piece of paper and it's gold. And they're caught by it. So they go and it says, a message from God. And that's it. They get on the phone. They're Facebooking. They take a picture of it. They say, man, I got a message from God. They're so excited. But let me tell you, you've been having a message from God. It didn't take a gold paper to find by the end of the road. It's called the Word of God. You've been having one of these. But you know what people are looking for? They're looking for something else. There is nothing else. It's his word. You got to take him at his word. We're looking for something, looking for a spark, looking for a magic. We're looking for, it's not going to happen that way. You know why? Because if that's the case, If a certain person lives on a certain part of a mountain somewhere in another country where they don't have it all, but somebody just comes by and starts talking to them about Jesus and explaining to them, that same person has the right to the kingdom. Whether we live in a city or we live around it all of our lives, they have the same right to it. God made this simple. He left it for the whole world. That's why we ought to be out there preaching the gospel of the kingdom, letting the whole world know that they have the rights to it. Amen? I mean, thank God for His word. He's good to us. So Ephesians shows us this, points it out to us. But now, in Christ Jesus, who were formerly were far off, have been brought near by what? The blood of Christ. We brought near by the blood of Christ. Look at verse 19, with that same verse. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. How many know we're fellow citizens with the saints? And this is what God has done for us. And we are of the household of God. We are of the household of God. Now, I want you to understand that there are some religions that teach that the saints, saint so-and-so and saint so-and-so and saint so-and-so has got it way better than you. Well, I beg to differ. I could tell you that's no truth of that in the text. Who is the saints? You are. Some religions teach you got to wait 5 years before you can become a saint. I want to tell you, you want to be one, you can be one today. I don't have a saint registry for you to sign up in. All you got to do is accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and realize that He's the King of the kingdom. And you're going to live after His ordinances, after what He teaches. And then you all become saints. Amen. Let me tell you, if back in the day, if I said that, they would have crucified me. I'm glad they're not crucifying right now. Amen. I'd have been burned at the stake. I can tell you, the last four or five Sundays, I'd have been burned every Sunday. Yeah. If I'd have lived in the first century church. Yeah. We have it so good. Yeah. They'd have been, I'm telling you, they'd have had the wood on standby with me. I mean, no, God's word is truth. There's so many of these, I can't cover them all. I got to get to this. I want to get to one of these important points to make to you. And I'll just have to see where I can put this in. How many know newness? Because I've run out of time already. Newness, future promise. Remember we was in Isaiah and we read that that verse 24? Let's look at Isaiah again. And read that verse 17. Because we're talking about future kingdom things God has done in part now. In part now. 65, 17. It says, "For behold, I create new heavens and new earth. The former things will not be remembered or come to mind." New heavens, new earth. The former things will not come to mind. So what is that in present time? In 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17. "Therefore, if any one is in Christ, he is a new creature." How many see that? If some of y'all are in Christ, preachers only, rich only. No, if anyone, the one who really wasn't bad, he behaved himself, but he still got saved. See, that's what we do. You know what it is? We categorize our own selves. We put ourselves in brackets and we start belittling our own self. We don't have a self. Our self-esteem is very low, and that's not what God said about you. And guess what? It don't matter what your neighbor said. It don't matter what your parents might have said over you. What matters is what you're hearing right now. God said, if anyone. Anyone. To me, that's exciting. Because listen, we can all get here and we can pull out our bad stuff we did list. My list, you'd be shocked how long my list is. You understand? But I had to get over that list. I had to figure out that what God did for me, He did for me fully. I'm not going to live with my sins ever in front of me. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift from God, and I thank God for the gift. He gave it to all of us. We can all have the newness of life. And this is what he said. And it's so important that you and I grab hold. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. So you don't just get rid of the old. You remember, don't just get rid of the old, because that would make you empty. Nobody wants to be empty. Because remember, if you're empty, something will happen when you leave it empty. The Spirit will come back and you'll see that it's empty. It's not being occupied. How many know we got to occupy ourselves with good things? How many know you didn't get bad all by yourself? You didn't just wake up one day and you got bad. No, you was occupied with bad things. Some people got overly occupied with bad things. And before you know it, that bad takes you over. That's just a fact. I don't care who you are, it will happen. Well, you got to occupy yourself with good things. You got to stay occupied in the things of God. You got to be involved in the things of God. Well, I'm going to go to church, but I don't want to be involved in nothing. Go on. You'll be doing the same thing you was doing. Won't be long. Some people last for years. Years. I've seen people go to church for years and then get overoccupied with the things of the world and they're not serving God today. That's crazy. Some people didn't last a day. Some people a week. It just depends. I don't know what makes that difference in time, but I can tell you got to occupy yourself. So listen to this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, new things come. Here's the thing. If you don't allow the new things to come, the old things are going to come back. And you're going to repeat the process. And generally, when you repeat the process, it's worse for you than it was the first time. Am I speaking truth today? Am I helping anybody? Does it have to be that way? Absolutely not. Anybody tired of a cycle? You know what's called a cycle? I see it in the church today. Church has a lot of cycles, and it's just cycles around. It seems like it's the same thing every year. It never changes. You're going to church, you're trying to do everything you can, but something's not right. You're having this hang up. You got to let the things come, new things come. You can't expect a different result if you keep doing the same thing you've been doing. That's insanity. Anybody ever heard that statement before? How could you expect a different result? So let me tell you, do I do it all the time? Yeah, I have a certain reading behavior, a certain prayer behavior, and I can tell you that there's times that that reading behavior and prayer behavior, it's like it peaks out, and it seems like I'm not getting anywhere anymore. What do? I make a change. I evaluate my life, and I see, you know what, this right here, I've been carrying this for a long time, and I don't need to carry that, that's for sure, because it's weighing me down. I change that attitude. I change my mind on that part. I go to God's word and I let something new come and I have a different result the following year. Anybody ready for this? What does that mean? You're getting kingdom ready. You're getting kingdom ready. You want to be kingdom ready? God wants you kingdom ready. I'm sorry, but I don't have time to finish it, but I will do Luke. There's a slide on Luke and we got to go there because I got to show you this. Because I don't want to leave nobody go home today without giving you something to shout about. In Luke, there we go, 19. Turn to Luke 19. Verse 11. Thank you, Father. While they were listening to these things, Jesus went to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. I mean, see, that now I could read the rest of it because it goes with the sermon, right? What are we talking about? The kingdom of God, kingdom people. And so he said, and he's speaking a parable. A parable is a story form of using a story to try to get a message across, but not telling the message fully. You hit points of the message. There's a message in the message. So he said, Jesus says, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated them and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returns after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves whom he had given the money, he called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared saying, Master, your minas has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. Notice that. The second came saying, your minas master had made 5. And he said to him also, you are to be over 5 cities. And he said to him also, you are to be over 5 cities. Another came and said, Master, here is your minas, which I kept put away in a handful of a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down, and you reap where you did not sow. And he said to him, by your own words I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you know that I am an exacting man, taking up where I didn't lay down and reaping where I did not sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have collected it with interest. And he said to the bystander, take the minas away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas already. And he, I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given. Everybody say more. Anybody ready for more? I can't tell you how many times people's taken this and just throw it all up and use it for their own benefit and own gain. But I want to tell you, there's more. You do right, there's more. More shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. But these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. Is that going to happen? I want to tell you, what we have here is a challenge to all of us. And this is what I'm going to close with. I want this to be a challenge to you. He's preparing us right now. I want you to ask yourself this question. The way I live, the way I act, the way I speak, the way I handle my money, the way I do handle my relationships, the way I act around my church family, my neighbors, am I really going to be a person who God gives 10 cities to oversee? Am I really that person? The way I'm doing right now, am I really cut out to handle 10 cities? I want to submit to you that we shouldn't lie to ourselves about this. We ought to be honest and judge ourselves rightly. If I can't handle me, and what God's put me in, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to handle 10 cities. Because in the kingdom, he'll come and he'll say, Brother Troy, I want you to run these 10 cities. Ask yourself this question. Can I do that and do it that would be pleasing to God? If he gives you the 10 cities, they're going to be given because he knows you did well with what he's given you now. So remember, he went away to receive a kingdom and then bring the kingdom back. And while he's away, and the master's away, the Lord is away right now, I'm wondering. Somebody said, well, I don't have. He didn't give me nothing. Oh, yes, he did. Yes. Everybody just do like this. You ready? On the count of three, we're going to inhale. Ready? Go. Do it again. There you go. That's not free. He gave you a lot. If you still inhale and he's giving you a lot. Some of you here got husbands, wives, children, families you live around every day. I wonder what you're doing with it. Some people have been awarded. It seems like, and this is what we do. We look around and see who's got more. Don't worry about who's got more. You got to worry about what you got. Instead of being angry with somebody who's got more. Take what you got and be a good steward of what you got. When you're a good steward of what you got, you're going to see God do some amazing stuff. But what are we being prepared for? We're being prepared to work in the kingdom. And see, this is what people think. Well, I'm just going to get saved and hopefully I'll make heaven. Well, he didn't tell us that. He didn't say get saved so you can make heaven. We get saved, we come to this realization so we can work in the kingdom of God. Jesus, when he returns, and I want you to think about this, when he returns, he is going to rule and reign on this planet for 1,000 years. I wonder what my job's going to be. It's not going to just to be a hangout and look pretty. I'm going to have something to do. I'm sure of it. Well, I want to make sure that what I'm doing now, I'm doing well. And I take consideration of it, that what I'm doing to prepare myself for the kingdom. How I act, how I take care of stuff, how I tend to it. And we don't want to hear these things. We go, oh, that ain't spiritual enough. Let me tell you, this is so much more spiritual than the chill bumps. You have no idea. Because what we got folks who will come and feel the chills and shout, and maybe they can shout hallelujah louder than anybody, but they won't even take care of their stuff. That's a quiet moment right there. Why don't we start being an example? If you're the light of the world, then we ought to be the light. If we're the salt of the earth, then we ought to be leading in these things. And you might say, I don't have much. That's okay. He didn't give a lot to everybody. He gave one talent to the one. But here's the problem, is when you find the one that has the less and they have the attitude is, well, I ain't got much, I ain't even worrying about it. Mm-hmm. You're not kingdom ready. Right. And that attitude will never make it in the kingdom, just so you know. Just so you know, it'll never make it in the kingdom. Because what did God say? He said, get him out there. You take him out my presence, I don't even want to see him. I never, ever want God to say that about me. You hear those words, it's over. There's no coming back. There is no repentance from it. There's no forgiveness from it. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you hear those words, get him out of my sight. So I yield to the Spirit of the Lord every day. And there's times you got to do something you don't want to do. There's times you got to put up with stuff you don't want to put up with. There's times that you have 100% right to say something back to somebody. But if you want to be kingdom ready, you will zip your mouth and say, God, it's all right. It's okay. I ain't saying anything. It's all right. And we wondered, man, oh, you mean I got to take this? No, why don't we change places with Jesus for a day? The day he was in the garden of Gethsemane. And they drug him out and they begin to beat on him until you couldn't even recognize him as a man. Anybody want to take that day? They spit on him. And he was naked, too. I know all these fancy pictures that the religious world wants you to see about Jesus. None of it's true. It's all a falsehood. He had no clothes on. We don't want to show that because it's too provocative. It's too out in your face. But he was naked. His genitals were publicly displayed for everybody to see. Yes, our Savior, the Messiah, the King of Kings was on display for everybody to see. Do you understand that? You want to take his place? Anybody want to take that place? Come up here and take all your clothes off and let us beat on you. It was humiliating, but he took that for me. What does he ask for me? He said, look, I'm going to give you these talents. It's what it is. I'm giving all of you some. Everybody's got some. Quit talking about, oh, I didn't grow up in the right neighborhood. You just don't know what I've been through. It don't make a difference. Listen, and I ain't trying to take it lightly what you've been through. But whatever you've been through, his grace is sufficient to get you out of it. I might not be able to help you, but his grace can get you out of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Either that or God done, he run out on you. Is that what we're going with? He left you when nobody else wanted you? No, no, no. He never did that. If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creature. New. It starts us all plain. Everybody's the same. We're a new creature. But you got to let those things come. All things come. They come. If you want them to come, they come. They'll come to you, come to anybody who wants them. You spend some time with God, they'll come. You understand what I'm saying? We start reading our Bible, they'll come. We start praying and seeking the Lord, they'll come. Those things will come. You'll get strong. You'll get more wisdom, more understanding. You'll start realizing I got to take care of my stuff. God gave me that stuff. Not going to waste it. I'm going to take care of it best I can. Do we need help on those things? Absolutely. We all need help. We're not to look around and say, I'm going to look around and see how he's doing or he's doing. Listen, you go to God and say, Lord, what did you want me to do? I mean, the little things, there's little bitty things in life that we just don't want to do. We figure it don't matter, and it really does to God. It really does, because the life you live on this planet is what everybody's seeing. So when he returns, he's going to say, okay, what did you do with what I gave you? Well, I didn't do anything. I was afraid. I didn't do anything. I didn't have much. I figured it didn't even matter. My little bitty old talent, all I had, you know, I couldn't speak. I couldn't sing. I couldn't play no instrument. I couldn't do nothing. I didn't have no money. I broke all my life. Really don't matter what I got. Let me tell you, you want that to change? Anybody want that to change? You want to start? You want to listen? I grew up on the same canal everybody in here grew up on. If you from here,
hallelujah.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
I drank the water from the same bay you did. I trapped neutrals and rats just like you did. But let me tell you, God gave me a talent. I didn't even realize I had it. I never had a clue I had it. Far as I was concerned, I didn't ever want to speak in front of anybody. Public speaking is the one number one fear that people have. Do you know that? Public speaking. The second thing that people fear more, less than public speaking, is death. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Number one fear people have is to speak in the public. And God called me to speak in the public. I was like, God, you're serious, son.
Thank you.
So what did I have to do? I had to get rid of my inabilities. I had to get rid of my fears. And I had to let the power and anointing of God and the confidence that comes with the Holy Spirit, I had to let it flood me all the time. And I still do it today. I've been doing this for a long time. It's not a time that I get up here that I don't ask God to help me. I'm about to go up there. Lord, you need to help me because I can't do it without you. I constantly let the Spirit flood me because I don't want to be up here just trying to figure out what to say. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. So it can build. My point is it can build, and it can build in any level. You can start out with just a little bit of finances. If you do right by that, God can help you and make that thing grow. He can. And this is not a message about finances of mine. I'm just telling you, you know, the reason why people get all worked up and bent out of shape a lot of times is because they're hurting. They're doing without. They're struggling. And you don't want to do that no more. It's up to you. But this time next year, you know, do I have to preach this sermon again? It's up to you. Are you kingdom ready? Right now, if God said, okay, I'm picking you, what you've done in your life, is it ready to take over 10 cities? 10 cities. And you're going to do exactly what you did all this training session. You're going to run it the same way. Are you going to get the same results? What if he says, I'll give you 5 cities to take over? Can you run 5 cities? Can you? He said, don't you know that you're going to judge the world? And you can't take care of these minor issues? Don't you know that you're going to judge the world? Don't you know that? You're going to rule and reign with Christ. I mean, we're going to judge the world. People, am I in a position to actually do that? I can't keep up with me. How can I keep up with my neighbor? How can I tell somebody else what to do when I can't keep up with me? Do you think we need to do some training here? Think we need to spend some time saying, God, help me? In the kingdom of God, he's going to use the people who are in Christ to help him rule and reign for 1,000 years. Anybody live 1,000 years yet? No, we're still trying to get through this life. This short life. It's like he said, it's but a vapor. It's there and then it's gone. And we're getting to get ready. We're training right now. He's gone. He went away. But he's coming back. And we're training to be ready for the kingdom. And we got the Spirit to help us. That equals the playing field. The Spirit of God. I don't care where you live, what your account looks like, who's your friends and family, doesn't make no difference. You can be whatever you want to be if you'll let the Spirit of God come and take residence and guide you and lead you in all truth. Because I can assure you there have been many times that the Spirit of God said, hush. Some people think, and this people think different things about you. They say, well, you know, pastor just don't want to say nothing about that. Let me tell you, if I'm up here, and hopefully you know me by now, and the Lord gives me the liberty to say anything, you could believe it. You better strap on because it's coming. But there have been times he says, no. Because I'm going to need that type of understanding and quietness, and I'm going to need that direction in the kingdom because I want to be able to do what God wants me to do in the kingdom. I want to be able to do it. So I'm getting ready. Are you getting ready? Are you getting ready to? I'm talking about kingdom people today. Are you kingdom people? Ready to live in the kingdom of God? Well, I want to tell you, the enemy, as we leave this place, he ain't going to quit. He's going to come against me, come against you. He's going to throw up all sorts of lies and distractions. He's going to do it. He's good at it. It's what he does. But greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Greater. We submit ourselves, therefore, to the Lord. That's what we do. So you get up every day. What are you going to do? Submit myself to God. Because I'm telling you, the first thing you submit to, no matter how many songs you sing or how many scriptures you read, is exactly what's going to lead you throughout the day. If you submit yourself to anxiety and worry right off the bat, it's going to guide you and the situation will come. You'll have that reaction with other people. What are you submitting to? The Bible says, submit yourself therefore unto the Lord. That's not all you got to do. Resist, resist, resist the devil. Resist the spiritual wickedness, the high place authorities. Resist that. It's no right, no authority over me. You speak against poverty. You speak against lack. You speak against sickness and disease. You speak against those things. You never, ever give in or side to it. Let me tell you, give you an example of what siding into it. I don't know what's going on, but it's just not working. You just jump boats. You just jumped out of God's boat into their boat. And let me tell you, that's a dangerous place to be in. You can be in church, filled with the Spirit, and be an active person in the kingdom, and all of a sudden you jump out. Not good. And there's been times people come to me and they say, what are we going to do? I said, this is not a good time to jump. You feel like jumping? Jumping looks like the only alternative you got. But what do when you feel like jumping? You hold on, you hold on, you hold on with everything you got because God's about to come through for you. Is he big enough or not? He wants to see that you'll be planted. You'll wait patiently and you'll watch him. It seems like, God, you're late. I can tell you he's never been late, not a single second of his life. Everything that had to happen was when the time it had to happen. And listen, it looked like he was late when his only son was about to take his last breath. It looks like God's late when he says, unto thy I commit my spirit unto thee, Lord. It looks like he's late when they rolled a stone in front of the tomb and he sat in there for 3 days. It looked like he was late. But let me tell you, every time God came through, the earth began to shake, the stone began to roll away, and God done what he said he was going to do.
Hallelujah.
But it looks like he's late. The very last second of the last day. I mean, how you feeling then? And there he is. God comes through. So I want you to keep these things in mind. You can take the talent you have. When do I start? You can't go back and fix yesterday. Unfortunately, whatever we didn't do, we might as well get over it because yesterday's gone. But today's a brand new day. And the way I saw it this morning, it don't make no difference if they got clouds in the skies or sprinkling rain. It does stop the sun. It's still there. There's days that you look and there's just clouds everywhere. I'm going to tell you, behind the clouds, the sun's still there because it's going to come because God said it's going to come. And every day that it's cloudy for you and it seems like you're about to get in a storm, I want to tell you, behind the clouds in the storm, the sun is shining. It's shining for you and I, and we need to embrace that. Every person here, you can. Start today. Start today and say, you know what? Today makes a new day, a new mark in my life. I'm going to take the talents God give me, and I'm going to do something with it.
Thank you.
I'm not going to succumb to fear. I'm not going to doubt. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I'm going to be a person preparing for the kingdom. And I'm going to be kingdom ready, kingdom material. I'm a kingdom person. I'm a kingdom person. You mean, tell yourself that daily. You're a kingdom person. When fear and doubt and anxiety comes, attacks you, when you feel like you don't know what to do, you tell yourself you're a kingdom person. You belong to the Most High. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many want to be kingdom ready? Let's stand together. God is good to us. He wants the best for us. The word has went forth today. My prayer is that the word is sown on good ground and bring forth fruit in your life. The word that went forth is in a seed form, a seed. I want to make sure that this seed, it gets in the ground on good soil. And I'm going to give time. How many know that it says that God gives the increase? You know how, this is the thing. I want God to give the increase. Sunlight is important to anything you're growing. If you're growing it, sunlight's important. So if I want it to grow quicker, I'm going to take it from underneath the covering and I'm going to get it exposed to the sun. How many of you know if you expose yourself to the sun, S-O-N, that seed that went in the ground today, it's going to come up quicker.
Hallelujah.
It's going to grow quicker. It's going to gain root quicker. How many ready to expose yourself to the Son? The S-O-N, the only begotten Son of the Almighty God. Expose yourself to the Son. So the seed can have increase, but you got to expose yourself to Him. And that's what I want to do. Don't let anything cover it up. Nothing. Listen, it don't pay to get upset about it. We're here. We already got there. The biggest thing that we got to look at is how we get away from where we are. How we move on. Get the seed, expose it to the sun, and say, I'm going to be a kingdom person. Kingdom people do things in a kingdom way. And the Word of God is full of it. So if you need that help today, you want that strength, let's pray and ask God for it. He'll help you. Father, I thank you today. I realize that without you, I can do nothing. I'm going to succumb to lies and manipulation from the enemy. And instead of your Spirit guiding me, I'll be led by the spirit of the enemy. And I look back at my life, Lord, and I realize there were times that when I acted out or said things or did certain behaviors, it was not your Spirit leading me.
Hallelujah.
And God, there are many times I didn't want to fess up to that, didn't want to admit it. But whether I admit it or not, it doesn't change. That's the truth. But today, I'm saying today, Lord, I renounce all other spirits that tries to lead me or guide me. I'm going to be led by your Spirit. Father, I thank you that your Spirit's in control. You're guiding, you're directing me. The enemy has no authority over me. I am a child of the Most High God. I have been made heir, joint heir through Christ. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm going to be led by your Spirit. Therefore, I will be ready for your kingdom. I'm going to operate right now. I feel a splash coming on me right now. Lord, I feel like I'm getting right close. I'm getting so close to what's going on in heaven. How the kingdom's being prepared. And Christ is going to return with that kingdom authority. When he does, Lord, I can feel a splash just come on me right now. I thank you for it, Lord. I'm going to be different from here on out. God, I'm going to take what I have, no matter how small it may be. For some of you, all you got is a talent, just a small minor. That's it. I'm telling you, don't wrap it in a handkerchief. Don't bury it. You put it to work. You put it out there and you say, God, I'm going to do it with joy. I'm going to do it with faithfulness and let God bring the increase. Father, we thank you for it. I thank you for every person that's here. And God, we've come here to honor you and acknowledge you and to lift you up. And we thank you for the time that you've given us. And I just pray, Lord, right now that an authority will rise up in your people, in your children. And God, we will not speak a negative word. We won't speak doubt. We won't succumb to fear. None of those things is going to happen anymore. God, we thank you, Lord, that the windows of heaven are being opened for your kingdom people. They're being opened right now. There'll be no lack. There'll be no poverty. God, we're not going to lack for anything. Everything, Lord, that you want us to have, it's going to be taken care of. We thank you for it, Lord. And we honor you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that healing is coming to us today. Healing in our bodies. Healing in our hearts. Healing in our minds. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for every child that's been exposed to these negative spirits. God, I take authority over those spirits. They have no right, no authority over your children. And I call them kingdom kids. They belong to you. They're yours, God. And we just thank you for it. And we honor you for it. Lord, I just ask you right now that as we leave from this place, that we don't leave from your presence, but that you would go with us and be with us. And God, as we have come here today to enjoy your glorious presence, we will continue to enjoy that throughout this day and in our homes, on our jobs. Lord, no matter what we're doing, we'll enjoy your glory. We thank you for it. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What a great God. Isn't he good? Yeah. I want to tell you, it's been just a blessing and a privilege of mine today to share the word with you. I thank God for you. We love you and thank God for all that's happening. And just remember, those of you that are going on a trip to Costa Rica, would you stay for just a few moments so we can touch bases with you on the tickets and all that we were selling for that. So if you're going to Costa Rica, just hang out. We'll be back out here in just a little bit to cover that. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.